served here since in this capacity since August. I'm just waiting for what a non-special Sunday looks like. Every Sunday, it's just a real blessing, and I do mean that quite sincerely. So thank you, choir. Thank you, instrumentalists, and so capably leading us. Thank you, congregation, for just enthusiastically embracing each Sunday with your voices, and most importantly, with your presence, because showing up is what worship really is all about, being here and being together. Let's just take a moment and just pause, because it's sort of we're in that liminal space where buckle your seat belts on your pews, because we're about to get started into the season that brings all kinds of demands upon us, and we're probably feeling a little road weary as it is. I mean, this is sort of post-Thanksgiving, but pre-Advent season. Maybe you, like me, found yourself doing a little bit of traveling when we were kind of setting up our Thanksgiving plans. I called my youngest son and said, now, is it okay that we come and visit during Thanksgiving and just tell us what day is going to be best? He said, well, you can come up Thanksgiving. They live in Fayetteville, North Carolina, on base at Fort Bragg. And then he apologized. He said, Dad, I've got to work night duty in the ER both Wednesday night and Thursday night. And I said to him, we're not here to see you. We're here to see the grandchild. Sorry, I miscommunicated that. You're not important anymore. But we had a wonderful time and returned last night, and grateful to kind of be back in our own home as well. So maybe you've been doing a bit of traveling and you're feeling the weariness of celebrations, knowing that there's still yet more to come. But you're in a good space, because church is not intended to be some marathon where we're going from one event to the next, but rather realizing that all we have to do is just simply be, and in God's calculation, that is always going to be enough. Now, before we have our scripture reading, which represents the culmination of four Sundays of gratitude, we'll be reading or looking at the text from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let me take a few moments to set this up. So let's pretend it's Wednesday night and we're in Bible study, or Sunday morning in your Sunday school class. So we're leaning into Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I'm an Old Testament guy, but I recognize that I'm kind of in the minority. Most of us may not find the connecting points in the Old Testament scripture, and that's okay. I won't judge you just yet. But let me set up Deuteronomy 8 for just a few moments. This text of scripture is addressed initially to the people called Israel, the people who in various places are called the treasured people of God. We call them the chosen people of God, because it is a choosing that God looks to Israel to be the shining lights to the rest of the world. It's not that they are more special, but rather they are to be exemplar. How can they model, example, give example to the rest of the world God's magnanimous love to creation? And for 40 years, Israel has been in a sojourn through the wilderness. Now, it's not just geography for geography's sake, but it's a liminal place of deprivation where they literally depended on the leadership of God through God's servants, Moses and others. They were fed by God manna from heaven. They were led by God by a pillar of light at night and a pillar of cloud by the day. For 40 years, they're traveling through the wilderness to a place promised to them. What that must feel like, to be traveling towards a promise. We all have kind of promises going on in our lives. And to the young, it might be the promise of, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? The education, the career, the making a durable living, so to speak. For others, it is the promise of raising a family and envisioning a future for them. And so you invest time and energy and hope into their young lives. The older ones among us, the promises become more introspective and finding peace and contentment to finally be satisfied. We all are on a pilgrimage towards a promise, are we not? Moving towards something, but it's not yet here. That's Israel. It's more than just a literal land. It's a place that they can call home. And so by the time we get to Deuteronomy chapter 8, they're about to cross the river and enter into the promise. It's all about to come together. It's all about to come to fruition. The promises, the expectations, the hope. We're almost there. It's in sight. And we read these words of getting ready to inherit the promise. Follow along with me, if you will, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. A land flowing with streams, with springs and underground waters, welling up in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land where you may eat bread without scarcity, where you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and from whose hills you may mine copper. You shall eat your fill and bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes, which I am commanding you this day. When you have eaten your fill, and you've built fine houses and you live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourselves forgetting the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, an arid wasteland with poisonous snakes and scorpions. He made water flow from you from flint rock, and he fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble you, to test you, and in the end do you good. Do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hand have given me this wealth. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth so that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your ancestors, as he is doing so today. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh Lord, you have already opened our hearts and our minds and our lives. May your Spirit continue to flow through us, that in the worship that takes place this morning, we may find meaningful work in the days ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Probably one of my favorite Thanksgiving passages out of Deuteronomy 8. Part of it is because even though the distance of thousands of years of Israel's experience is so different than my own, yet I can't help but hear some echoes, some reminders. It's as if God is reminding both the people then and now to take stock in where you are. Don't forget the giver. Don't forget in giving thanks. Don't forget that what awaits you will shape you. Historically, Israel kind of loses sight of that. I need to tell you that. It's kind of a spoiler alert. If you go on and read through the Old Testament, we read that Israel begins to forget. And as we get into those books of the Bible that we often skip over, you know, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and we'll read, though, over and over again, and Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They forget, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's stand with the people of God then as they are on the liminal space of the brink of a promise. It's not unlike this church, right? We look around and we think, my goodness, what a beautiful place. What beautiful people. What wonderful traditions and customs. It's as if we've done a lot of good work for ourselves. Well done, First Baptist Roswell. Well done. Oh, but we know there's a backstory to all of this. If we could just listen to our ancestors 150 years ago, they might tell us, well, this was a tough go. Beginning a church out of nothing, seeking to make meaningful impact into the community in which we live. In fact, some of you may remember lean years in the history of this congregation. You may remember times in which you're wondering, are we going to make it? So it's easy at times to forget. But here we are in this liminal space where 2024 is not yet. The season of Advent is not yet. One wonders what awaits this church. What about you and your own personal lives? How's it going? Some of you are at the height of your careers and you live in the nice home and you're surrounded by the nice family and you have things to remind you how nice life is. It's easy to slip into the temptation. Look what I've done for myself. It's easy to be a culture of forgetters. Are you good at saying thanks? I don't mean just the people that serve you your food, although that's a good way to start. Or maybe saying thank you to the person that's bagging your groceries. That's also important. But I mean, are you good at just being thankful? A friend of mine once made the remark that what if you woke up the next day and you only had the things that you gave thanks for the day before? What would your day look like? Do we pause long enough to give thanks to the good health? Do we pause long enough to thank God for family? Do we thank God for the little things that happen in anyone's life, or do we take it for granted? I got to tell you, I think I'm kind of a grateful person. I say thank you a lot. I've preached 4 sermons, for goodness sake, on gratitude. But often I don't really say thanks for the things that I just take for granted. Maybe because over time I begin to imagine that I'm entitled to these things. You know, the hot cup of coffee in the morning time, having strength just to get out of bed, friends I can call on, family that's safe and sound, a roof over my head, a pantry full of good things to eat, a loving church that always greets me every single Sunday. In fact, I wonder if deep down I imagine if maybe I'm entitled to this. You'll notice the title of this message is Entitlement or Thanksgiving. And I know that we think entitlement may belong to other people, but I sometimes wonder if we drift also into seasons of entitlement. Why not change the narrative a little bit? In Deuteronomy, God reminds the people that as you enter the land of promise, and you experience the fulfillment of all that God has extended before you, don't go thinking that it's all because of you. Remember the giver of these and many good gifts. Ralph Waldo Emerson writes that cultivate the habit of being grateful for every good thing that comes to you, to give thanks continuously. I also like how Maya Angelou writes, if you must look back, do so forgivingly. If you must look forward, do so prayerfully. However, the wisest thing that you can do is to be present in the present gratefully. Gratitude comes by remembering. That's why maybe for many of us, Thanksgiving is a special time. We think about traditions of long ago. Even if we no longer live in them, we look back. It's no different than the people of God. When God led them into the land that had been promised to them, they were told, do not forget where you came from. Do not forget where this comes from. And do not forget who led you. Look in verse 11. Take care that you do not forget the Lord. Do not exalt yourself forgetting the Lord your God in verse 14. In verse 17, do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hand have gotten me into this wealth. And the next verse gives the directive. But remember. In the Jewish tradition, there's great power in that word, remembering. Not the kind of nostalgic or sentimental kind of remembering, but literally remembering that it's not because of who I am, but because of who God is. This is a season where we give thanks to both the gifts and the givers. And holiday becomes that time. It's also a time of preparing, right? That's what we've been doing in this church service, getting ready. It's not Advent yet, but we're getting ready. We're making ready the house. I love Robert's prayer, too, about how that leads to an internal transformation. How are we preparing what's happening in our interiority? How are we preparing our own lives, our hearts, our souls? As Israel was preparing to enter the promised land, God exhorted them to prepare by keeping the commandments, remembering the covenant, walking in the ways of God. Gratitude comes by remembering and by preparing and ultimately by sharing. And so each Sunday we come and we share. We share our joys, we share our voices, we share our thanksgivings. But friends, it's also okay to share our failures and our brokenness, our heartaches. I'm grateful that as a church, it's this Wednesday, I think, is when the church will gather to kind of remind ourselves, not everything is hunky-dory. Not everything is fine. Not everything feels right. We get to share that too. Church is at its best when we are at our most honest, our most vulnerable. That's the gift we can give this generation and future generations. Verse 10 of Deuteronomy says, "When you have eaten and satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which God has given you." You know, my dad says a lot of things that's still funny. One of the things that he comments about every holiday season, he says, "You know, my favorite Christmas lights are the taillights." I know he doesn't mean it, but he likes to say it. And when I was leaving my daddy yesterday afternoon, late afternoon, I gave him a hug, and he said, "Y'all aren't leaving so soon, are you?" I said, "I got to go, Dad. It's a couple hours drive in front of me, but we'll see you in a few weeks." It's his own way of saying, when you've eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land. It's been a good morning, hasn't it? It's going to be a great year as we enter the Advent season and the goodness that awaits First Baptist Roswell and every life here. Let's pray together. Lead us, O God, we pray, as we conclude worship, but truly begin our work. Lead us, O God, we pray, that as we leave the house of the Lord, we would enter into the keeping of gratitude. Lead us, O God, we pray, that as you come into our lives, we would follow you all the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.